on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
28 to 11, we're on the pace today. Jason Bonington is in the sulky. Morning, Jase.
Yeah, back in the bike. Thanks very much, Cozzy. A lot to get through. My head's spinning a little bit, to be honest. Hazy's left me with plenty of information here to get through. Before we get to our first guest, who's going to be Matt McClellan, who's going to give us an update on Hector JJ, the horse that he part owns, of course, who we haven't seen for about 9 months. Just very quickly want to announce that Maori Time has been invited to the Elite Labet. So the Australian who ran the fastest time in the world this year on Miracle Mile Night, of course, what an exceptional performance it was, will be going, as long as she's sound between here and the Elite Labet, and there's no reason she won't be. The 8-year-old mare will be going to represent the green and gold over there in Sweden, and we couldn't be more excited. But we've got to quickly change tack here and get on to Matt McClellan, because he is eagerly awaiting the influx of kids to his classroom. How are you this morning, Matt?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes before they start pouring through the doors expecting you to educate them. So we need to talk about Hector JJ. We'll go back for the uninitiated here. He is about to come back to the races soon, hopefully. But take us through his last 9 months. We last saw him win that Group 1 Blacks Are Fake up at Albion Park. What's life been like for him since then?
It was pretty exciting back last year in July in the Blacks Are Fake. But since then, he's obviously done an injury to his suspensory. We've given him the PRP treatment, and then he was enforced to have a bit of a layoff for a few months. Jamie Scott took over there and looked after him. Basically, couldn't do much at all. We had him scanned several times, and each time it improved and improved, which was great. So we had 4 different vets look over him, which was super, and they all gave their different assessments, which was good. That gave me a bit of an insight as to how he's progressing.
And tell us, look, I don't know a hell of a lot about the PRP treatment, but take us a little bit through that and also through the prognosis. I get the feeling that the team feels that he's going to have to get back into work, fast work, then to the trials, then to racing, really before you'll know exactly where Hector JJ is at and whether we're going to see him back to his best again. But take us through that entire rehabilitation, the PRP treatment, and exactly what the prognosis is right here and right now.
Yeah, so the PRP treatment basically is a treatment that helps to recover injuries like what Hector sustained and fasten up the recovery process. From that point, you've pretty much got to rest your horse up, which we've done. So Hector's been able to recover. It's been about 9 months now, and all the scans have shown improvement. He's reached a point, he's been on the water walk for the last few months, and he's reached a point where Peter Clark and I had a good conversation and said, well, we may as well put him back into full work now. He's jumping out of his skin to run again. And so the last 3 weeks he's been in full work, and we're hoping in the next 4 to 6 weeks he'll be very, very close to racing.
And you love him like a child, and we know that, first of all, Simone Walker did a terrific job with him early in his career. Then he went to David Aiken, and along with his son Josh and Kieran Frenning, that entire team brought him to unprecedented heights. But because you want him to be close to you, because he's your baby, he's coming home to a certain degree, and he'll now be trained by Group 1 Gavin Lang.
Yeah, so Josh and Kema had a lot of fun with Hector, and he obviously got a lot of success. And it was unfortunate, obviously, he sustained the injury. But, yeah, I want to be really close. I want to have more involvement with Hector, especially over these next few months while he's hopefully going to come back to racing. And, yeah, Gavin's closer to home, and so hopefully I'll be able to see him on a weekly basis.
Do you feel there's a chance, like you're almost starting again in some ways? You look back only 9 months ago and the horses that were going around at Grand Circuit level then. We don't know what the future is for Lazarus at the moment. Vincent's off the scene for good. He's been retired to start to have faith in me, and Heaven Rocks have both gone to America. And now you've got this new influx. I mean, you know Myfield Marshall pretty well. You took him on and that Blacks Are Fake. But horses like Jillibee Kung Fu and Soho Tribeca. So it's an exciting time to bring Hector JJ back, because there's this whole new, I guess, guard of horses coming through at the Grand Circuit level.
Yeah, that's right, Jase. It's a new ball game. All these younger ones that come out, they're flying at the moment. And as you mentioned, horses like Jillibee Kung Fu getting times like they did in the recent Group 1 races. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where Hector's at, and hopefully he can match up to them in the coming months. But initially, we'll try and get him back to some of the Victorian races, see how he coats them, and the horse will tell us where he's at. I'm excited. I'm really excited that he's come back from this injury, and fingers crossed everything goes well.
Yeah, look, I think for a long time we were all starting to think, well, maybe it's not going to happen. So it is wonderful to have him back. Those kids are moving very closely towards the classroom now. So very quickly, the dream scenario is to have him ready for another crack at Queensland. I know everything, it's a race-by-race, week-by-week proposition, but if you can get a couple of Victorian runs under his belt, is that the dream plan to get him to Queensland for the carnival again?
Yeah, spot on, Jason. So if we can get him into a few Victorian races in the next 4 to 6 weeks, then if he can cope with those, then he'll show us where he's at. And if we could go back up to Queensland, he's had a lot of success up there, so that would be awesome to go and race against some of the good ones back up there again. And then post that, we'll see where we go.
Wouldn't it be nice to go back and have another crack at an Inter-Dominion? Because I know there's some unfinished business there, of course, going in favourite in Perth a couple of years ago. Mate, it's just incredible to think that he's actually back on track and that he might be back as a force at the Grand Circuit level in Australian harness racing. He is one of my favourites, you know that, one of my all-time favourites, one of the fastest horses we've ever seen. So fingers crossed we can get Hector back to his best, and thanks very much for the update on his progress this morning.
Really appreciate it, Jason. And yeah, it's very exciting times. It's a really good harness racing story.
It is a great harness racing story. There's a lot of them going around, it has to be said, across the weekend, including Kima Fredding. Hopefully we'll get to her later. The Swedish girl who came across here to work for David Aiken for 3 months and has ended up driving on the boss to a Mildura Cup success on the weekend. And also Greg Goldfield. We'll talk about that a little bit more on In the Gig tonight, of course. Emain Macca was almost dead at the end of his previous preparation. They didn't think he survived. Well, he's come back and he's been able to win that big race, the Mark Garrion Associates Cup, also on Saturday night at Mildura. But now we'll switch our focus to what happened in Sydney on the weekend, and hopefully on the line, waiting to get into the doctor's surgery, is Craig Cross. How are you, Craig?
Good morning, Jason.
Still haven't got in quite yet?
No, I've put him off till Thursday.
That's outstanding. That's what we wanted to hear. So we've got some free time with you here. It's been a terrific week for the team right across the course of last week, Craig, but we want to discuss primarily two big stars who won on the weekend, Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, kicking off with Mac Doro. Really terrific win. It wasn't a Group 1 race, but you were taking on Group 1 competitors, and he just keeps maybe stepping up a little bit. We know he's been a very, very, very good horse just below the elite, but there are signs right now, aren't there, that he might be getting to that point where he is elite?
Oh, yeah, he's not far off. And it's just where the race has run, you know, if he gets a good draw, because he's got great speed at the start and he's got great speed at the end, which is his best asset, you know, his best asset.
I thought one of the most, exciting factors of the win on Saturday night was the fact that he didn't spear across them straight away. We know he's got that devastating gate speed that you mentioned, but he just moved out, lobbed a spot. So he doesn't need to be the kind of horse, does he, I don't suppose, right now, who blasts out and has to use all these petrol tickets early to get behind the leader and then hand up to an appropriate rival. He was in the 1-1, covering a little bit of extra again on Saturday night, and he's run a benchmark 150.3. So he's getting that little bit stronger as well.
Yeah, he was like that. Lou gave him a great trip. We sort of knew there was going to be a lot of speed in because Lyfell Marshall was going to go forward with the run. And so we thought, oh, well, we'll just try and get across and hope we get a good trip. And the other horse has done a lot of power of work, Franco Nelson and Lyfell Marshall. Like, they're a credit to them. They've, you know, really, to go that speed and running second in the depth and then three wide, the other horse.
He's finished top four in three of his past four Group 1 assignments, and I'm guessing the Len Smith Mile will be the Group 1 target you're targeting first up with him here. He does seem, as I mentioned, to be closing in on potentially breaking through at level, and you're dead right. I mean, he's going to have to take on these horses every time he goes around, horses like Myfield Marshall and Franco Nelson, who can probably do a little bit more work than him, but he seems to be proving, as we saw on Saturday night, that if he does get the right run, well, he can run a 150 mile, and generally speaking, unless we're talking miracle miles, that's good enough to be very competitive at the top level.
Yeah, well, last year he ran second in it, like flew home and ran second, which is his sort of attribute, you know, like just the high speed at the end of the race mainly.
And in terms of the gun mare of Piccadilly Princess, it was wonderful to see her right back to her best in the feature race in the program on Saturday night, the Rangie Bill. Luke drove her really aggressively from the outset, and that was the real one we saw on Saturday night, wasn't it? We haven't seen her for a little while, but when she's at her best, she's absolutely top line.
Yeah, well, she raced in Perth and the Inter-Dominions and come back and it's a bit hot over there and took her a while to acclimatise since we've took over the training of her, like the way we like to train her with the swimming and everything. But she had trials, like work in herself at home and that, and very good leading up into the race. The filly she beat was probably first up from a spell where Piccadilly was, you know, a bit more harder and fitter, I think. And, yeah, it was driven aggressively, and she's quite a good mare.
I'll put my Victorian hat on for a moment, mate. We've got the our only Group 1 race for females only coming up in not too long, the Queen of the Pacific. Does she go down and attack one of those lead-up races and the Queen of the Pacific, or does she target that race or stay at home or go for a break?
No, she'll keep ticking over. She may go to Melbourne. We've got a couple, maybe, if the Little Horse Today qualifies, go to Melbourne for the gold. So, yeah, she'll try and pick out the mare's races mainly because they're more competitive then against their own sex.
You've had, as I mentioned, a terrific week. I think 6 winners between Tuesday and Saturday last week, including that treble birdie, Mac being the other winner on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park Menangle. But looking back, look, it helps us for reviews, but we need to make some money, and you've got 3 runners in today. First yep. string is the first of them in one of those APG Repper Chargers. What can you tell us there?
I think he's a nice little horse. He went very well last week and just got collared on the line. And today, I think he comes out in gate 3, he's number 4. I think he's got a really good chance. He should actually win, I think. I'm very confident with him today.
And the other two, got to go Jazzy Jet in front?
Yeah, Jazzy Jet, I think she'll go quite good too because she's drawn a nice gate and she's quite a nice mare. She hasn't had a lot of racing, but, she'll be there about. And the Fronte, well, if he behaves himself, he's a bit of a bit of a naughty boy sometimes. he can nearly win today too, but, yeah.
So 3 good winning chances, but I'm just getting from the tone of your voice that if everything goes right for first string, the best of the 3, and fortunately the earliest of the 3, so that we can get our cash early on?
Yes, that'll be me, yep.
All right, mate, we really appreciate it. Hopefully it wasn't purely for us that you put the doctor off till Thursday, but hopefully you get there and get that broken leg seen too, and really well done for the winners in the weekend, and great to see Mac Doro, as I mentioned, stepping up to that top level. Appreciate your time this morning, Craig.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason. Thanks for the call.
There's Craig Cross, of course, who had a wonderful weekend, a treble at Tabcorp Park Menangle, headed up by the win of a Piccadilly Princess in the feature event, the Ranji Bill, and also Mac Doro, who's just sort of knocking on the door saying, I'm happy to be a Group 1 horse potentially. So he's been around the mark for a long time, but maybe stepping up to the next level right now. Our next guest is our most important guest. We don't want to denigrate the others, but Darren Williams, the Harness Racing New Zealand Racing and Marketing Manager, has some big news for us this morning regarding the first Australian invitee to the Harness Jewels for 2018. Good morning. Well, good afternoon, in fact, where you are, Darren.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jason.
Now, there's plenty that we could talk about regarding what's happening in New Zealand harness racing, including some magnificent fields to go around this weekend. But our main game, as I just mentioned, is to exclusively reveal the first Aussie invite to this year's Harness Jewels meeting. And it's a horse those in New Zealand will know pretty well, mate.
Yeah, it is. So the very first invite for this year, and we're working with connections for 8 of the races out of the 9 at this stage. We've got expressions of interest over here from about 17, 18 horses that we're working through with the connections. But the very first invite for this year goes to a 4-year-old Ruby contender, so a 4-year-old trotting contender in Custodian, trained by Nathan Jack. So Custodian's an unusual horse in that he's already won a Harness Jewels when trained by Mark Purden just prior to him being purchased to go to Australia. So he won as a 2-year-old, and that was at Cambridge 2 years ago. So he's the first horse that I can think of that's actually come back to compete having already won a Jewels. So pretty excited about that. He's a very good horse, as we know. Won the Jewels, won the Breeders' Crown that year in 2016, and went on to win the New South Wales Trotting Derby last year. So excited to have Nathan involved again in the Jewels. The invitation's gone out to him, and we're hopeful that he will accept it. He's indicated that that's what they want to do. They want to bring the horses over here. And he's been very keen to be back at the Jewels since he came over in 2015 with Glen Ferry Bronte and Just Carla. I didn't have any luck on that occasion, but he's been very, very helpful with us in working through any options that he's got for us to come back, and very keen to be back this year.
You mentioned, Darren, the Custodian is the first Jewels winner to leave Kiwi Shores and then return, not quite defending the title because had a little bit of a gap year, but coming back as a 4-year-old after winning it too. But I can just see this becoming a much more regular occurrence as the years go by. And as you mentioned, terrific to have Nathan back. We're going to chat with him soon, but I think this is the best way to do it. He's had a little bit of a reconnaissance mission a few years ago, got his bearings. This is a slightly different circumstance because we're going to the North Island on this occasion, but you're going to see more and more of this. And we see that Shane Tritt wants to bring horses over. People who've been there before and got a lay of the land think that they can come back and win a Jules, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of trainers over the last 5 or 6 years since the invitation process began. We actually had an Australian representative at the very first Jules prior to the invitations being extended directly to an Australian. That was Divisive, and he runs second after having a gallop just after the start. With an ounce of better luck, he probably would have won. And we haven't had an Australian winner as such yet. So he runs second. Mr. Mojito and One Muscle Hill both finished second last year at Ashburton. But as I say, these trainers are becoming very, very much aware of the Harness Jewels. The very first handful of years, we had to explain exactly what it was, but that's most definitely not the case now. The trainers are coming to us on a regular basis and discussing the options. It's clearly not cheap to travel a horse and to attempt to sort of make a hit-and-run mission on a Group 1, but there are occasions where that does work in okay with other races that are about, and let it ride. But Tim Butter's already over here for the Taylor Mile this week and the Messenger next week and trying to earn his way into the Jewels. There are a number of horses that we have on the books, including Jillaby Kung Fu, who are very keen to come, and we're working through some of those processes with the connections, and we'll get to a point where we extend some additional invitations. But pretty excited about Custodian being here. As I say, Nathan was fantastic with the media and at the functions that we had, as was Amanda. And the big plus, I guess, for us was the posse of people that came with them. There was a number of people that toured with the horse, and I know the connections of Custodian are very enthusiastic and have been talking about this well before he started trialling this season. So obviously with an aim to be at Cambridge on the 2nd of June.
You've sort of spoken about this at the moment already in a way, but you just must be so thrilled with the way the Aussie interest in the Harness Jewels has grown in recent years. I think in total there's been 13 Aussies go over there, and you've tinkered with how those Aussies should qualify or be invited in recent times, but the mixture seems to be right at the moment because, as you've mentioned, for the first time we're seeing genuine competition between not just handy horses but star horses trying to garner an invite to specific categories. The 2-year-old and 3-year-old fillies, without giving away any state secrets, there's going to be a pitch battle to work out exactly which of the gun Aussies potentially gets a Guernsey as the invited Australian for those Jules categories. So you're getting competition now for particular categories, and it just seems that interest, as you mentioned, has grown to the point where instead of you having to reach out potentially to Australian trainers and try and get that interest going, they're reaching out to you.
Yeah, exactly, Jase. I mean, we've spent a lot of time with the trainers and dealing with the problems that they have trying to move the horse, and obviously if they're flying into Auckland and then trying to get down to Ashburton, it's tricky, and trying to fly them instead of them having to get on a ferry and all those sorts of issues that we need to deal with. But certainly the response from everyone that we've ever dealt with has been overwhelmingly that they would love to be at a Jules. It's a wee bit like, obviously, the feature race meetings that you have for age group horses over there, like the Breeders' Crown. Mm. But one of those days where from the get-go, there's interest in every single race. And for New Zealand anyway, it's the only race meeting where there's 9 Group 1 races on the day. And getting 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds all in one place at one time is very difficult. And we suffer a few withdrawals because of that. Where horses at this time of the year start to go for a spell and look towards the cup meeting here. And it is tricky, but certainly the interest from the Australians is very high. A number of 2-year-old trotters even showing interest, so it's really promising.
Yeah, well, I've only had the fortune to go to one Harness Jules meetings down in the South Island, of course, and it was one of the great experiences I've had in a racetrack. It was definitely the coldest experience I've ever had in a racetrack, but it was one of the great experiences I've had watching some sensational horses go around. Is this going to be the year that the Aussies break through, mate? As we say, today's all about Custodian. He's the first invitee. He's the one that's got the Guernsey and the invite for Nathan Jack to consider, and we believe he is going to go. But there have been some really big names bandied around over the last few weeks. I've seen in many of Adam Hamilton's articles in particular, the Jillaby Kung Fu, his hat's potentially in the ring, Carlos Pixel, the Ladyship Mile winner, Wobba Lee, the benchmark 2- and 3-year-old square gator down here in Australia. So if even one or two of these happen to take up the invite, get the invite, take up the invite and come across, it does seem like this might be the year that we finally break through and win one of those duels.
Yeah, well, certainly not to sort of degrade the horses that have come in the past, because there's been some exceptional horses come, but this would be on paper, if things pan out as we're expecting, the strongest Australian team to come over here, with many of these horses already Group 1 winners. So horses like Wobbly is an extreme young talented trotter. She's All Rock and Soho Burning Love are looking to make their way to Addington for the New Zealand Oaks, so there's a lot of water to go under the bridge there. And a mare like Carlos Picks, what, 49.5 at Menangle. You know, we'd love to have a horse with that kind of speed in a four-year-old mare's race here at the Jewels. So working obviously with Sky and looking at start times and as many races that we can get onto Sky One in Australia. And the betting has continued to grow on Jewels Day from Australia. So I think awareness is there. And it just continues to grow. It's the 12th year this year of the Harness Jewels, and it will be rebranded and a wee bit of new activity on course to freshen it up. But it's certainly entrenched as one of the best days in New Zealand racing anyway.
Well, you're doing a magnificent job, mate. The one thing you should consider is potentially inviting one or two Australian journalists to come over there and cover the meeting as well. But we really appreciate you allowing On The Pace to reveal the first of the Aussie Jewels invites for 2018. It is custodian, mate, and we'll be in touch in coming weeks to work out exactly who else will be coming across the ditch for that big Futurity series. Appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, Jase.
There's Darren Williams, the Racing and Marketing Manager at Harness Racing in New Zealand, announcing the first Australian invite for the Harness Jewels for 2018. It is a horse named Custodian, and we're all about sweet, smooth segues here and On The Pace, and that's why we've got Nathan Jack on the line, the man behind Custodian. Good morning to you, Nathan.
Good morning, guys.
He's not the highest profile horse yet in Australia, which is a little bit strange because he's done a wonderful job over here. He's a Group 1 winner, but Custodian is very, very good, isn't he? 6 wins from 9 starts on Aussie soil. 5 from 6 for you and Amanda. He's a very worthy Jewels invitee.
Yeah, I think he meets the criteria, Jason, that's for sure. He's a quality horse, and he's only a horse on the up, and I expect him to be Mickey Mouse come Jewels time.
And you're 100% all systems go. You are, the invitation has been now tendered, and you will be going?
Yeah, 100%. He'll be there. Yep.
We just spoke a little bit with Darren about you doing a reconnaissance mission. Now, it's 3 years ago. It feels like it was yesterday, but you went over with Glenfree Bronte and Just Carla to compete in these series. Things didn't work out on that occasion, but as I mentioned, a great reconnaissance mission to go over and find out what needs to be done. How much is that going to help when you take Custodian across this time around?
Oh, yeah, it's going to help a lot. That's for sure. We're going to benefit out of it. We learned a lot going the first time, and they probably weren't the right horses, and the barrier draws weren't that great, but they still competed well. But just little things from travelling to the experience, we learn a lot out of.
And you've already been given a big pump up from Darren for bringing across a team of thousands last time when you campaigned those two horses, and there'll be plenty of happy owners wanting to come across the ditch to follow Custodian across as well.
Yeah, they'll be lined up ready to go in that crew. They're a great crew, and they're a very loyal crew. And, yeah, they'll be excited. I haven't told all of them yet, but you know, but they'll be very excited.
Wouldn't mind knowing your thoughts, Nathan, with there'll be a greater influx of Aussie horses going to New Zealand, not just for the Jewels and for these sorts of series, but for the New Zealand Cup and lots of other races as well, because it seems like we've almost got to that tipping point. It's, you know, for so long it's been a situation where the concept of trying to go across to New Zealand and beat them on their soil was so foreboding that you just didn't bother doing it. But now it seems like with a couple of Mark Purden stars gone, a little bit of, well, a drop in depth at the top class in terms of both horses and even trainers, with so many of those gun trainers coming across to Australia, that there's going to be a little bit more of a swagger about Australians wanting to go back and win those major races. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, I do think it's going to happen. I think Mark scares a lot of people off, to be honest with you, but I think you know, we're probably learning a little bit more how to do it now in the better races, and the races are worth a lot more over there now, which makes it a lot more inviting for the Aussies to go over.
Now, we need a winner before we let you go, mate. Can you give us any sort of push for Executive Dash tonight?
Yeah, he's a nice horse. The draw's a little bit tricky outside Andy's, but he's got good gate speed. And Andy's horse looks like it's sort of starting to hit his straps as well. Stanley's horse goes good, but I do think he's a horse once the penny drops, he's got a big future.
And closer to home for those listening in Sydney, of course, to On The Pace. Major Dan goes around on the weekend at Tabcorp Park, Menangle. Now, I've got to tell you, going back to before he got narrowly beaten in a devastating upset for myself in particular in Victoria Cup night on October 14 last year, I was of the opinion that he was rapidly progressing to the point where he'd be, if not an absolute A-grader, then not far off it. That progress just seems to have stalled a little bit. I know he hasn't had a stack of luck on various occasions. Do you still think, or did you ever think, that he was going to reach that real A-grade level, or is he going to be a horse that's going to level out where he is or take another, say, 12 months before we know how good he's going to be?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to take him 12 months to get used to really racing them good ones. He went through his grades and was running good time, but probably beating second rate horses. But once he sort of went to Perth and that, he come back, the half mile never really suited him in Perth. He is a front-of-the-field horse. The draw at Menangle's not ideal out wide, but I'm sure he'll go forward and look to find the front, and he's going to stay up there. He's going to stay with Kevin Pizzuto after Saturday night, so him and Code Black will go back up there, and I'm sure the mile racing at Menangle will suit Major Dan down to the ground.
Hey, fingers crossed. I think he's shown a lot of ability. He's got that devastating gate speed, and hopefully he can fulfil all of his potential. We appreciate you joining us this morning, Nathan, and congratulations on getting our custodian invited for the Harness Jewels, mate.
Just one more thing, Jase, if you can. You might want to get Brad Hill on the radio. He seems to be ringing me a lot since I've been on, so he might just want to hear his voice on the radio.
He does enjoy coming on. We appreciate the update there, Nathan. We'll get Brad on the line, if not this week, then next, because clearly he's pretty impressed by the whole process. We've got one more guest to come on the pace. We haven't quite got hold of her yet. It is Kee Mifrenning, who I've mentioned, won the Mildura Pacing Cup on Saturday night with I'm the Boss, and she's now turned green on my monitor. That means she's ready to roll. Kee, good morning.
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
I'm very good. You've turned into something of a multimedia star over the last little while, and I know you love doing it, so I'm glad to have you on the show. Now, I know we've gone through this story a number of times, but I still never get sick of hearing it, and I never get sick of telling it. Take the listeners through the uninitiated. How long ago did you immigrate across to Australia from Sweden, and how long were you planning to stay?
Yeah, well, I came over 3.5 years ago, Jason, and I was only meant to stay for 3 months just to see how things were, you know, how you did things over here. But, 3 years later, I'm still here.
And you came here, you know, to do some work with the Aiken Stable, but also to be a Monty rider. They were starting to explode in Victoria in particular, the Montys, the Ridden Trots, and you were enormously successful at then. At what point did somebody tap you on the shoulder at Team Aiken Stable and say, maybe you should get in the cart and have a go at driving?
Well, they probably never did. I just wanted to sort of have a go myself, but, you know, it didn't really work out. And then over the years, I've just had a lot of help from a lot of good people, and, you know, it sort of worked out all right.
And all that has culminated in what happened on Saturday night. You had a terrific relationship. We've mentioned a number of times. I know it breaks your heart to talk about him because you love him so much, Sapphire Swayze. But now you've created this incredible bond with I'm the Boss, who's just the toughest customer you could ever possibly imagine. And the way he's improved with the affinity you've had with him over the last sort of 4 or 5 months has been extraordinary. How much of a thrill was it to win the iconic race, the Mildura Cup, on Saturday night?
Oh, I can't even explain it. You know, come out as a junior driver and just to be able to drive in a race like that, it's a big thrill. I was just, you know, happy to be in the heats, and then when he came out and won the heat the way he did, and, you know, I thought we'd be, you know, have a bit of a chance in the final, and, you know, to go into the final with the favourite, and, you know, he ran the race the way he did, it's just like, I can't explain it. I'm still shaking my head. You know, I haven't really got around to it yet.
Well, once you reach these levels, you've got to keep looking at bigger goals. Now, I know that the stable mate, the Shark Tent's going to be there at Shepparton on April 28th for the rescheduled Shepparton Cup, but I reckon I'm the Boss will probably head in the same direction as well. Your partner, Josh Aiken, was joking relentlessly after the races on Saturday night that he wants to have a bet for I'm the Boss to beat Lenny the Shark home. We need a Boss tent if he goes there, so you've only got to get loftier goals now, Kee.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take that bet for speeding Lenny, but we're going to the Shep Cup with him. He's gone to the Water Walker. He's gone to the Water Walker now for a little freshen up, and he'll come back next week. And our aim is to go in the Shepparton Cup and just see how we go.
Well, you're a stone cold star, Kima. Nobody could be happier than, well, I think everybody was thrilled to see your smiling face at the back end of that Mildura Cup on Saturday night after I'm the Boss got the job done, and you're a star multimedia performer as well. We appreciate your time this morning and look forward to I'm the Boss hopefully competing well at Shepparton.
Thank you very much, Jason. Appreciate it.
There's Kima Frenning, one of the absolute sweethearts, the darlings of the harness racing scene, not just in Victoria, but Australia-wide. That's the end of On The Pace, mate. We finally got through it. I was expecting three people not to answer their phones. At the end of the day, everyone wanted to answer their phone, Cozzy, and Brad Hewitt feels a bit ripped off that he missed out.
Well, bad luck to Brad. We'll talk to you soon. Good on you, Jase.
Thanks, Cozzy.